If you get your Bible out and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter 20. And once you find it, look for verse number 12. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. And then stand with me, if you will, please. It'll only take a moment. We're going to read the scripture together as we stand. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Tonight's lesson is going to come from verse number 15, "Thou shalt not steal." Destructive behavior, number 13, stealing. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Simple lesson, but a truth that Christians especially ought to live. We ought to emulate honesty. So, Father, tonight, Holy Spirit, help us that we would guard ourselves from this sin, this destructive sin of stealing. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be better because we came to church, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. One of the Ten Commandments here is, "Thou shalt not steal." I'm going to read another verse to you. If you would like to turn your Bible to John chapter 10, I'd like for you to look at John chapter 10, verse number 10. John chapter 10, verse number 10. And the Bible says in John 10, 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." We're talking about destructive behavior. Here it is obvious that God has associated the thief or stealing with destruction. He talks about the thief being destructive. Now, not only is the thief destructive to the one from whom he has stolen, but he's destructive to himself. And so the thing of stealing, it's a destructive behavior. God is not going to bless you if you steal. Boys and girls, it's wrong to steal. It's a sin to steal. You're not supposed to steal. I'm going to read a couple of other verses to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." To me, when we go to stealing, there's a laziness involved. We wanted to get something the easy way, and we did not want to put forth the labor or the effort to get it. And that's basically what God's teaching there in Ephesians 4:28. Then, in Leviticus 9:11, it says, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." And here we see God associating stealing with a falsity. It's doing something that we're not supposed to do. Now, if you go to, and let me read another verse. Matthew 19, verse 18, it says, "He saith unto him," which Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal." Now, notice that God, he's called a pretty heavy-duty list of sins there. He says you're not supposed to commit adultery. That's a terrible, terrible sin. He said, "Thou shalt not kill." That's a terrible, terrible sin. Then he lists, "Thou shalt not steal." You say, "Well, stealing, that's minor league, and killing is major league." Well, in the list that God's giving, he's putting stealing in the major league. He's saying it's a big deal. It's destructive. The Bible says the thief destroys. The thief destroys himself. The thief destroys those that are the thief's object or victim. But folks, I think a mistake that we make, stealing is not just in reference to money. We lean toward that belief that when you talk about don't steal, means don't steal somebody's money. We lean, I think, toward that belief because money is so valuable to us. Matter of fact, money is the ultimate god in the United States of America. It's not who the Muslims think that they worship or the Buddhists think that they worship. If you want to know the false god in America today, it's money. And you'll have to figure out if you're bowing down to money. Does money make all your decisions? Does money determine your attitude in life? But there, it's not just money that God, I think, that God would warn us about in regard to this thing of stealing. Let me give you some scripture. In Exodus 22, verse number 1, it says, if a man shall steal an ox or sheep and kill it or sell it, or he shall restore the ox or the oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Now, actually, the ox here is being compared to an ox in this day would have been the tractor of the day. And so when he's talking about if you steal a man's ox, it's like today you're stealing his tractor. You know, they would use an ox to pull their plows, and it's how they did their heavy duty labor. So you're virtually stealing the man's tractor. In other words, what God is saying in that scripture, don't you steal when and it has an association to work. Folks, don't steal from your employer. Don't steal from your employer. Now, so stealing is not just money. You could steal something that has to do with someone doing their work or from the employer. Jeremiah 23:30 says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. There are people who have stolen from the Word of God. Boy, I can't tell you all the fake Bibles, how many of God's words they have retracted. And God said, you stole my words. That's a dangerous thing. Matter of fact, that is so dangerous. In the book of Revelation, God said, those that go taking from or adding to God's word are in jeopardy of hellfire. So we could steal at work, and God warned us against that. We could steal God's words. He warns us against that. And then in Deuteronomy 24, verse number 7, it says, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of them. Now he's talking about stealing people, kidnapping, if you will, transporting people to places that they don't want to go and maybe places where they shouldn't be. So God talks about stealing people. God talks about stealing his word. God talks about stealing things at work or things that are associated to work. Now, this is going to be so simple, yet I want to lay a platform. Stealing is to take anything that does not belong to you. Okay? Now listen, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this about you and I as Christians, and ye are not your own. If you're a Christian, you don't belong to you. You belong to him. So in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, and ye are not your own. Now in 1 Corinthians 6:20 it says, for ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? So if stealing is taking anything that does not belong to you and you belong to him, you better be careful what you do with you, because you don't belong to you. That makes sense? 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, he breaks it down. He says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body does not belong to you. Your spirit does not belong to you. That spirit there is not capital S spirit, Holy Spirit. It's small S spirit, your spirit. Okay, your body does not belong to you, and your attitude is not to be your attitude. It's to be the attitude that he wants you to have. Your attitude is to be his attitude, because your attitude doesn't belong to you. Your attitude belongs to him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. See, we were redeemed, we were purchased, we are the purchased possession of Jesus Christ. And here it says, these people deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Do you understand then what I'm trying to say in the last few minutes? You don't belong to you, you belong to him. Be careful what you do with you. You could be stealing you from him. And the Bible says that'll bring swift destruction to your life. Christians belong to the Lord. We are His property. Don't steal yourself, your life, your belongings from God. Everything that we have, it's His. We just represent Him on this earth with it. Now, let me see if I can make it even more down to earth and practical. First of all, I'd recommend to all of us that we not steal our future from God. Don't steal your future from God. You say, why? That's God's future. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring. Folks, don't steal your future from God. Be sure your decisions today do not limit God's desire to use you tomorrow. Your future, it's in God's hands. That belongs to God. Your future belongs to God. Hey, don't steal your future from God. You plan your career with no thought to what God would want. That's stealing your future from God. You foolishly, maybe you commit to everybody here. Be careful. You get yourself in outrageous debt. And because you're an honest person, you then have to work 12, 14 hours a day. And before long, you're working 6 and 7 hours or 6 or 7 days a week. And you don't come to church anymore. You know what you just did? You stole your future from God with poor decisions today. Hey, listen. You go out and marry a lost person. And now you've stole God's plan for your future. Because if you marry a lost person, they will pull you away from God. Or just go marry a liberal Christian who doesn't want anything to do with the old time religion. What did you do? You made a decision today, and your decision today will steal you away from God in the future. So don't steal your future from God. You knew we would get to this, so let's get right to it. Don't steal the tithe. Don't steal the tithe. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now that's verse number 8. In verse number 10, God says, if you'll tithe like you're supposed to tithe, that He will hold back the devourer. You say, what's the devourer? I'm not exactly sure who or what does the devouring, but God has in place a principle that if you don't give like you're supposed to give, you'll lose in life financially. You'll lose in life. So it's destructive to you if you don't give like you're supposed to give. In this passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, will a man rob God? Those are God's words. They ask, wherein have we robbed thee? I don't think they associate them not tithing with robbery. They say, where have we robbed thee? He said, well, in your tithes and offerings. I'm not sure that the human race liked God's wording. He said, You robbed me. And they said, robbed? Wherein have we robbed thee? You get smart with God, He'll answer your question. He said, in your tithes and in your offerings, He said, I'm not going to reword it for you. You robbed me. Now, do you know that when someone gets robbed, that is when someone actually takes something away from someone? You've actually, if you don't give your tithes and offerings, you are virtually taking things. And really, the word rob means by force. You're taking it no matter what. A robber is not usually a real happy, friendly person with a squirt gun that tells you jokes off the bubblegum wrapper while they're doing it, right? They're virtually threatening. That's how they rob. God said, if you steal from me, He said, I take that as an aggressive act toward me. Now, they said, well, we didn't steal from you. We just delayed the delivery of the tithe. He said, I call it robbery. Well, I borrowed it. I'll tell you what you do. Go to the bank tomorrow, get in the teller's drawer, and when the police officer comes to get you, say, I was just borrowing. I was borrowing. See how it works out? God, I didn't rob you. I reallocated the funds. God said, call it what you want. I call it robbed. And just so you know, in the end, God wins. We lose. I would be careful, because if you finance your home with stolen money, that might not be good. You plan on, listen, you're financing your future, your retirement, with stolen money? You think you're going to be okay when you're 80? You're stealing God's tithe and investing God's tithe for your future, but you want God to take care of you when you're 85? Could you see how that could come back to bite you later on?
Yes, sir.
Did you know that God can trace all the ID numbers on all the money, and He knows what's His? I'm really not trying to scare you, but I need to tell you the truth. The Bible says if you'll tithe, God will rebuke the devourer. The devourer is the one that comes and penalizes you for not giving like you're supposed to give. Which means this: if you do not tithe like you're supposed to tithe, you're losing. You're losing now and you'll lose later. The devourer will get the best of you. Okay, so we're not to steal our future. We're not to steal the tithe and the offering. Thirdly, we're not to steal our minds. Our minds. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. On what should we think? Well, God gives us a list of the things that we're supposed to think upon. Again, I go back to the basic premise at the introduction of the sermon. Stealing is not just taking money. You can steal your future. You can steal money from God. Now, you could steal your mind away from God. Your mind belongs to God. It was bought with a price. Train your mind for God. Are you stealing your mind away from Him? Are you putting His word into your mind? Hey, listen, Hollywood will steal your mind. Gossip will steal your mind. Pornography will steal your mind. Sinful music will steal your mind. God said, don't steal. That's a destructive behavior. So we shouldn't steal our minds away from the one who actually owns our mind. We have been redeemed. We were bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body, which also includes our mind, our finances, all of our behavior. Let me go on. Be careful not to steal your time away from God. Your time. Psalm 39, verse number 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. It is obvious God uses the terms measure of my days. We have so many days. And so you understand, everybody here, you have so many days you're going to live. You have so many years you're going to live. And those years get divided into months. And those months into weeks. And those weeks into days. And those days into hours. Did you know that all your weeks, all your months, all your days, all your years, they're not all yours. They're all His. They're all His. Your time is God's time. Be careful. Now, we go to work. We have so many things that we are supposed to do. God tells us to do those things. But I do want to tell you something, folks. When it's your Bible reading time and you're watching TV instead of reading your Bible, you have stolen a time that belonged to God. When you ought to be praying and you're not praying, but you're doing something else, you've stolen that time from God. When you ought to be in church and you're not in church, you've stolen that time away from God. So be careful not to steal your time. I want people to have the proper balance between work and home and school and church. And I want all of us to have that balance. But I will tell you one thing that you don't ever want to lose track of. All your time belongs to the one that bought you. All of it.
Yes, sir.
All of it. Let me go on. Number 5, don't steal your life. Don't steal your life. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am to live my life as a dead man. I'm to be crucified. He's to live through me. I'm to live my life his way. You're to live your life his way, not your way. Your life's goals are to be his goals for your life. Your career choices are to be his choices for your life. What you do with your life is a big deal. Say, well, I'll work church in and I'll give God a couple hours a week. God owns it all. We all say that we believe that, but we don't live that way. We don't think that way. We don't function that way. So be careful. This thing of stealing, we could say, well, I don't steal money. Well, we can steal our future. We can steal the tithe. We can steal our minds. We can steal our time. We can steal our life away from God. Hey, don't steal your children. Do you know who gave you your children? Did you create them? Were your children created to glorify you? The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. Of the Lord. We need to be careful that we rear our children for God. If I'm going to rear my kids to make a lot of money, you better rear your kids to love God. To love God. We're not to rear our children for ourselves. Look, it may be hard for you, but if God wants your child someday to go to be a missionary, that's what you ought to want for your child. One of the most dangerous things you'll ever do is to hold your children back from serving God. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing. It's dangerous for your child. It's even more dangerous for the parents. Boy, if God wants your child on the mission field, you ought to support it. If God wants your child grow up and be a youth director or a pastor's wife, you ought to want that. God's not going to call all children to do that. But it's not the parent's choice. It's the Heavenly Father's choice. Your children are to do God's will and not yours. And kids, you do what mom and dad tell you at home right now. We don't go home tonight and say, well, I'm listening to God. I'm not listening to you. You're liable to go to the woodshed. That's liable what you're going to get. Children are to fulfill God's dreams, not your dreams. That's the safest thing for them anyway, unless you're an atheist. Maybe if you just don't believe there's a God, you just play in religion. But look, if you really believe there's a God, God's got a better plan for you, your kids, than what you'll ever have. God will protect your kids more than you will. He would always have them do right. Based on your life's example, you wouldn't always have them do right. Because if they were to follow in your footsteps, think of what kind of a mess they'd have on their hands. You better hope that they're following in God's footsteps. So be careful. Don't steal your kids. Don't steal your life. Don't steal your mind. Don't steal your time. Ladies, don't steal your husband from God. Luke 14:20 it says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. A man had been invited by the Lord to a feast, and he said, I can't come, Lord. Why? And I'm married. Whether that is the exact thing that happened or not, I don't know. But did his wife say, I'm not going to go to that. I'm not going to be involved in that. Was his wife keeping him from serving the Lord? Ladies, may I recommend that you not hinder your husbands from serving God. That would be you stealing them away from the one who owns them. Will you keep your husband from being a soul winner? Will you keep him from serving God? Will you keep him out of church? Ladies, if I were you, I'd recommend something to you. Encourage your husband to be in church. Don't ever try to pull him out of church, because I'm going to tell you something. You try to keep him home. You try to get him into the habit of not coming to church. One day you'll regret that decision. I can't tell you how many times I've watched someone try to keep their spouse out of church, and so their spouse decided, okay, fine, I'll stop going to church. And then what they turned into, their spouse, who hindered them from serving God, hated the outcome. They said, I'd give anything if he would go back to church. Well, you're the one that talked him into staying home. Don't steal your husband from the Lord. But let me go on. Don't steal your wife from the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. As a matter of fact, she'll cost you a bunch of rubies too. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Here God is talking about a good woman that wants to serve God. And remember, hey, and both husband and wife, let me explain something to you. He is your husband, she is your wife. He is their God. You don't come before God. No husband here comes before God. No wife here comes before God. You ought to be encouraging your husband to serve God. You ought to be encouraging your wife to serve God. They don't belong to you. Ultimately, they belong to God. Here, I've watched men that pull their wives out of church, pull their wives away from the Lord. That's a dangerous thing to do. You'll regret that someday. You'll regret it. It'll come back to bite you. It'll ruin you. So there's more ways of stealing than just stealing money. We can steal the tithe. We can steal the offering. Or we can steal our futures. We can steal our minds from the one that owns them. We can steal our time, our lives, our children. A husband could try to steal his wife, or a wife could steal the husband. Then, don't steal your talents from God. Matthew 25, verse number 15, it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Several ability. These talents, it's not the word talent that we use today. This was a monetary thing. But I think the principle and the truth is applicable. Here it's talking about someone being given a talent and them not reinvesting that or using it for the Lord. Everybody here has abilities. There's something that you do. God, in his influence in your life, developed some things that you're capable of doing. Some of you are good at one thing and some good at another. But you need to remember something. Those talents weren't given to you just for you. Your talents, your abilities, your strengths were given to you for God. Because you don't belong to you. You belong to God. Do you use your talents only for you? Maybe you have the talent of making money. I believe God gives people the talent to make money. I think there are people that are good at making money. I'd recommend, if you're a Christian and you're good at making money, that you realize it's not all about you. And let me warn you. The one who helped you to make it, he can take it all. Tomorrow. Today. The Lord, he lifts up kings and he takes kings down. You say, well, I've got it FDIC protected. The federal insurance for your bank will not stop God or the devourer if God chooses to have that. Don't steal your talent away from God. Maybe you have the talent to sing. I do not believe for a moment that God gave you a talent to sing so you can go be a rock and roll star. You can be a country star. God gave you a talent to sing. It ought to be used for good and for right. Maybe you play an instrument. I don't know that God gave you that talent so that everybody worships your ability to play that instrument. Now, if you're good at it, wonderful. But if you have a talent, it ought to be used for God. Don't steal your talent. Don't steal your ability. Maybe you have the talent. Maybe you're a construction person or an electrician or whatever you do. Your talent was given to you by God. He owns you, so don't steal that away from Him. There are people that have abilities, and they're very good at those abilities, and they never use their strength for God. I'm not real sure that that's what God had in mind. So God gave you a strength, and you never use your strength to serve Him. That doesn't make sense. I don't see how God would plan it that way. There's some of you, you talk well. You use your talking to make money, but you never use your talking ability to win someone to Jesus Christ. So God gave you the ability to communicate and helped you to develop it. But you think it's all about just making money? You can sell well. Listen, the product that we have is unblemished. It has an eternal warranty. It's salvation. You can't go wrong, and they will not overpay. It's free. And it's, and it shouldn't be all that hard to sell. You should not use your speaking ability just to make money. So, I think we could steal our talents. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. Don't steal your body. Don't steal your health from the one who owns it. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Folks, your body does not belong to you. There's a reason why you're to take care of your body. It's not yours. It is not yours. It belongs to God. Everybody here, you need to attend to your health and work at it because your body is not yours. It belongs to somebody else. I don't like to borrow things. Borrowing makes me very, very nervous. But when I borrow, I want to make sure I give what I borrow back to the owner, and I'd like it to be in the same condition in which I received it, or better. Man, some of you that what we would call it old school, you understand that perfectly, and you say, that's exactly how it ought to be. Well, God gave you your body. You need to take care of it. See, it is the tool that He uses to get His work done. He uses your body for His purpose. Don't steal it from Him. One of the reasons why, someone that misuses drugs or booze, or, hey, I don't think you ought to be going around cutting all over your body. You say, well, I'm frustrated, I'm depressed, then come get some counsel, but you know, you ought not be cutting your body up. You need to get some help with that. You say, well, why should I? Because that's not your body. What right do you have to be cutting on God's body? What right do you have to be putting things in your body that are destroying your body when that body doesn't belong to you? The same thing's true about immorality. Immorality is a sin. Adultery, fornication is a sin of itself. But let me tell you something. Do you know whose body you use to sleep with someone you weren't supposed to sleep with? Wasn't yours. That body's God's. You committed adultery with God's body. You committed fornication with God's body, because it's not your body. It was bought with a price, and therefore you're to glorify God in that body. When you misuse your body, you're abusing your body. You're stealing that away from the God that owns it. I believe that stealing is more than just money. I think when we take that which belongs to another, that's stealing. And we belong to another. There were three men. They were traveling across country on a train. They were sitting at a table, two men sitting on one side, one on the other. A man pulled out a deck of cards, put them out on the table, and he said, men, let's play some poker. The one man said, sure. And they started dealing out the cards. The other man, sitting across from the two men that were happy to play poker, his hands, his arms were up underneath the table, and they dealt out three hands, and the man sitting there with that poker, with the cards in his hand, looks across the table and said, hey, buddy, pick up your cards. We're going to play poker. He said, I can't. He said, I can't play. I have no hands. Oh, the man said, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. They scooped up the cards and dealt out two hands, and two men started playing poker. Well, in a moment, the guy that said he could not play pulled his arms and hands out and put them on top of the table and got him a drink of his drink. And the fellow that had dealt the cards, he said, hey, I thought you said you couldn't play poker and you had no hands. And he said, sir, I have no hands. These are not mine. They're God's. And I had no hands to play poker with. Folks, what you do is not really all about you. It's all about Him. And when God said, "Let him that stole steal no more," I don't think He's just worried about me and you and the Christian, the human race getting along. I don't think anybody has a right to steal anything from God. And God said, "You steal from me, I will not rebuke the devourer in your life." A lot of loss among Christians is loss because we have taken something from God that belongs to God and not just money. Calculate your losses. We are religious, but I don't think we ought to be religious. I think we ought to be spiritual. And this sounds hyper-spiritual, but it's true. He owns it all. All of it. Someone said He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He also owns the hills. It's all His. Don't take from God what is rightfully His. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Destructive behavior, number 13, stealing. Stealing. We're going to have a time of altar call. Calculate in your mind. Think. Don't steal from God. Don't keep people away from God. Not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your money, not your time, not your heart, your life, your mind. Don't do that. You're taking from God what belongs to Him. Stealing. He used the term destroy. The thief destroys. The thief destroys himself. John 10:10. The thief destroys his victim. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, you need a moment at the altar. We'll open the altar. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Hey, I think part of being honest at work is giving the boss 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. Oh my, I'm telling you. They say across the country we could reignite to a level that we've never seen before the economy of our country. You say, how? In the stock market? No. Just have employees go in and give every boss solid hours work for a solid hours pay. That would change the economy. I think the statistic that I read was bosses get about 60% out of their employees of what is honestly owed them in labor. In other words, the other 40% of the time, they're playing, they're goofing off, they're hiding, they're unproductive. It's destructive. Ushers, if you'll make sure you have the prayer bulletins, we'll find out what prayer requests we would have this evening. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he might have to give to him that needeth. Leviticus 19:11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal.